On the phone. Steve Hayes is going to join us on the phone. Carol Combs is on the phone. Did Ryan Bart join us on the phone? I thought I heard you. Just making sure. Anyone else that I did not capture on the phone there? Bless you. Okay, so we're expecting a couple more people to join us here, maybe in the room. I have the vice president of the Tule River Tribal Council said that he was in a water summit in Northern California right now and was sending another representative, so we'll see if they make it today. We also had, I had some final comments from Julie Allen in writing. She would like to voice approval for the process, the content, very firm. Steve Hayes also did that, but I asked him to call in today because he's been doing some exciting work, and they have quite a few projects on the project list. I think I've got everybody. We've got Mary Beatty from Provost of Pritchard, Bobby Kamansky, himself, Eric Sustaitha, and Nancy Bruce in the room. And we're projecting the agenda on the screen here, the agenda for today sent out earlier, the goals for today. Really, the central thing we want to do is to see if there are any remaining comments or questions regarding our content and the materials that led up to today. And if we can agree on that and think that we're in good shape, we should adopt it as a group. And what that means is that we voice approval for the plan, and then I pen out a letter stipulating how we adopted the plan as a group in this meeting today, and then we send that to DWR as a letter of acceptance. And then each member organization has the ability to either, one, if you have no governing board, say you're the Forest Service, you can accept the Irwin. And there's a formal letter that you can sign to do that. Now, that's interesting because we've gone down that route. In 2013, we prepared a plan, an implementation program, and we had to seek Forest Service approval in that way, so they had to accept the plan. In fact, the Sequoia National Forest did accept our plan in, I think, 2013 or 2014, and back in 2011. So we've had that approval process, and we've had some examples of organizations that have gone forward. We also have another government that adopted our plan, a sovereign nation, Big Sandy Rancheria, and they actually adopted our 2014 plan. So, you know, there's some really neat things that have come out of that. I know that there are a number of other entities that now I think probably wish to support the plan and, you know, adopt it or accept it. And one of those entities that's coming in, is just coming into the room right here, is John Shelton. He's just joining us in the room. Thanks, John. Sign in, please. And so if John's organization wanted to accept the IRWIM, he could bring that to the director of the region or maybe even the state director and ask them to sign that letter of acceptance. All that does is say that organization approves and accepts and does its version of adoption of the plan. So that's really rather straightforward. We've also seen that process is acceptable to DWR. So that we are following exactly what we did 4 years ago. And I don't know if you noticed, but we're almost about 2 weeks off of our schedule 4 years ago. It's really interesting. I peeked at the schedule, made sure that we were doing everything as we did before. I even copied parts of Rich Wilson's email today and pirated that into the email that we used to talk about today's meeting. So our process has been surprisingly similar, even though we planned it in a slightly different way in timeline, and we have different partners this time. So it's really interesting, I find, that we come back and we're about 2 weeks off. On November 13th, 2014, we adopted an IRWIM as a group. So I think that's a really nice way to set the stage for today's meeting, which I think is going to go pretty quickly. We've only received a couple of comments, and I tried to summarize those as best I could. I've been doing a lot of outreach. I will detail that outreach in just a few minutes. And I know some folks have limited availability today in terms of their participation. So I want to speed through the introductory part and get to just a couple of project updates in terms of DAC and some other things. But I want to check in on the agenda. This is a pretty straightforward agenda. It follows the project updates, comment period, OrWMP update, comments, discussion, response, OrWMP adoption process, which is the central portion of our meeting today. And then we have an implementation program, next steps. I mean, I wanted to sneak that in here today because we already have some grants that are going to be due after the first of the year, and they're big ones. We also have Prop 68. We have a number of others. Department of Fish and Wildlife is actually soliciting a number of different grants. And UC Merced submitted to the Wildlife Conservation Board an analysis modeling exercise for evapotranspiration loss. Now work for me, please. Evapotranspiration loss in the watersheds and how that might impact water quality and quantity. So some exciting things are happening really fast. And I wanted to just poke that in the agenda today to the extent we had time to get that done. So just gonna go through and do introductions really quickly. I want our note taker to project his rather modest voice. And I'll start. I'm gonna facilitate today, Bobby Kamansky. I'm principal and owner of Kamansky's Ecological Consulting. I work in partnership with SRT to execute this project. I have invited Eric to help take notes today and record the meeting. Eric.
My name is Eric Sustaita. I'll be taking the notes today. I'm a solar installer in the San Joaquin Valley and all over, do commercial, agriculture, and residential. So if you need any solar needs, let Bobby or myself know.
Hey, Nancy.
I'm Nancy Bruce. I'm here on behalf of Circle J Norris Ranch, Springville Public Utility District, and what we call Tulare Basin Wildlife.
And John Shelton, California Department of Fish and Wildlife.
Jared, who's our host for next meeting, would you please introduce yourself?
Sure. Jared Takamoto, Fresno Metropolitan Flood Control District.
And then Carol Combs, would you please introduce yourself?
Sure. Carol Combs, Tulare Basin Wildlife Partners, in the process of becoming Tulare Basin Watershed Partnership.
Sophie, would you please introduce yourself? She's probably on mute. Okay, Sophie, if you're on mute, I can't hear you, but Ryan, would you go, please?
My name is Ryan Bart. I'm a post-doc at UC Merced.
And then, Ryan, I don't know how familiar you are with A, the new projects that Roger sent us, or B, the scope of work letter that he sent out that details the materials going forward to the end of the grant. Would you be able to provide a one or two sentence summary of those items today?
Sure, right now or a little bit later?
A little bit later, I'll call on you, bud. Okay.
I can give a brief overview.
Great, thank you. And then Sophie, please, are you there? Thank you, and thanks again to Sophie for her organization being the grantee for this process. I sat down with Melody at Sequoia Riverlands Trust, and we have charted out a path to get kind of all the grant submission things in for this grant. But we have also worked with Provo Pritchard and then UC Merced, and UC Merced has hand out a little bit of work that they can do after this process. As you folks may recall, that we have a lot of analysis and modeling that's been done by Ryan's fantastic work, Dr. Bales, Dr. Speak. And what now we can do is to try to make sure that that's applicable on the ground in some way. And that's called the Knowledge to Action Framework. And that has a lot of things embedded in it, but it's really just teeing off a lot of the stuff that are already in the tasks. It's not anything really different. We have a summary of that today we'll talk about in a few minutes. So I wanted to just provide a little brief summary here.
Nina.
Oh, hi, Nina. Thank you for joining us. Would you like to introduce yourself, please?
Certainly. I'm Nina Hepel. I'm on the Sequoia National Forest, and we're participating in this whole thing from, I don't know how many years.
Pretty much from day one.
Yeah.
Which is 10 years.
Yep. Anyway, cool. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for joining us. Really appreciate it. And Nina, I'm not sure at what point you joined, but I did send out letter of acceptance, sample draft for organizations
yes.
such as yours.
I heard all that.
Great.
And I also read through
Great, thank you, Nina.
I'm pretty certain that Trish Benson, who's our new forest supervisor, would support it as well. She was the ranger on the Hume Lake District about 4 years ago, so she's probably somewhat familiar with the process as well.
Thank you, Nina. And just for folks on the phone, we just had a gentleman walk in the room who I've actually become to like a little bit. He got me out in the field not too long ago and drove me all around. A gentleman from the Tule River Tribal Council, wherever you like, sir, please. And so we have some interesting projects that have come out of that interaction. We had a really nice drive around. We're going to do some more. They've become a pretty interested and engaged partner in this process. So thank you for joining us. Would you like to introduce yourself? And folks on the phone here, so... Just let us know.
Okay, my name is Charles Dabney. I'm with the Tule River Tribal Council. I'm currently the treasurer, and I'm kind of filling in for Kenneth. So I'll do what I can and answer whatever I need to answer. And
appreciate you attending today, sir. Really appreciate it.
And just for the record, Charlie and I went to elementary school together. I'm John Shelton. John Shelton? Way back. I had hair back then.
Yeah.
And yours wasn't gray.
Yeah. Mine was thicker then too.
Band-aid. Yeah.
That's awesome. Cool.
I really like that.
And I'm Nancy from Circle J.
Okay.
So we have some representatives from the Tule River watershed here.
Yes, okay.
So John, your brother John Dabney was in my class.
Okay. So I was a grade maybe ahead or two. So. I got an excuse anyway, so
yeah.
We're good.
The younger kids always know who the older kids are. It's not always the other way around.
Right.
So
I can always go with my older brothers and stuff. So.
So we're just doing a little bit of project updates, and the most important to get us through our agenda today, the most two important updates are really about DAC programs. And so the first one, starting in the north, I'm going to ask John Shelton to help me provide an update. We have had a DAC workshop in the San Joaquin River watershed. My time was split between and among three or four different things that morning, so I was able to attend a brief session of that. I was able to provide some information. We did surveys, and one of our public comments actually came out of that workshop. A lady by the name of Melinda Lee, she was working in that workshop and was attended there, and so we made some efforts to do that. The goal of that workshop was to really assess the needs in that portion of the San Joaquin River watershed and needs for DACs specifically. Now, as you folks know, there is a DAC effort in the Tulare Basin, so I want to talk about that in a few minutes. But John, if you would provide a little bit of a summary for that workshop, and I know Steve attended and some others, it was a really pretty good workshop, I think.
Yeah, it was good. So a little bit of background, especially for those who haven't been involved much. The Mountain County funding area has just got the very far northern part of the Southern Sierra Irwin. So it's the San Joaquin watershed, San Joaquin River watershed that's part of that. So it's a slice. It does include like Shaver area and some of the stuff upstream of the North Fork guys that on the Fresno County side of that stuff. So and they also had a tribal meeting later that mostly Big Sandy, I think, was part of, and they talked to, I think, to some of the others, but Big Sandy was there at both days and stuff. So it was an assessment. They had two parts. One was looking at disadvantaged communities and how you determine that, and the group that's been working on it out of Northern California that's under contract with our big umbrella, the Mountain County Funding Area Subcommittee, they have got some ideas of how they put together these geographic boundaries so that it fits a little bit better for the way that the Sierras are set, because we have such a distributed population, and so it kind of shows most of our areas as DAC. And then in the afternoon they had small utilities, so it was very interesting on this stuff. And there are a group of people, since I know the Tule River area and the smaller utilities up there a whole lot better than I know the stuff on the San Joaquin. It was nice for me to meet these guys, some people who do stuff for Shaver and Huntington, but also some of the small communities up there. And they talked about, you know, their needs, and there was no huge surprises. The one thing that was kind of interesting is the big Sandy rep that was there, who we've already gotten some funding for.
Yep.
She's brand new, so I had to kind of add in some of the things that, that they were doing right now. So she didn't know where they were at on some of the issues, and I said, yeah, they actually have one project ongoing, and we've got more that are still coming and stuff. So it was a good process. And then we actually, I don't know if you want me to go right into it, we had our subcommittee meeting Tuesday, yeah, a couple of days ago.
Okay, so you were able to attend that one, good.
Yeah, so I made it up to that, and Jeannie Hobbin, who, you know, does a lot of work with Madera and does come in at ours, she was there, and we were sitting next to each other, so we had some pretty good discussions. We are working on, as a group, doing these workshops throughout the Mountain County funding area, and there's 13 different IRMAs that are part of that. Several of them are similar to ours, that they have footprints in two funding areas. You know, most of them are the Sac Valley / Mountain Counties. Madera is another one that has like us, but there's the San Joaquin. So there's the San Joaquin River funding area, there's the Sac Valley funding area. And there's actually a Cascade type deal up there. And so our furthest north, I guess it's Manhattan, I think they bleed into. It's one that goes all the way over to the coast and stuff. So the one that goes up in the very far north of California is kind of a little different. So a lot of them kind of understood the position we're in is they're going to two, you know, and working on this stuff. But they, I think they really appreciate the methodology that we've got going to define our disadvantaged communities because it fits for mountainous areas and stuff. So we had those discussions. The other thing is they're trying to still work on their strategy. There's a PSP, a proposal solicitation process out right now. Okay. We had reported since our last meeting to this group that we were mostly interested to see if we can put a big, kind of a one set of proposals together as the Mountain County funding area and go to DOVR and say, this is what we want to do. And if we do it that way, we can get basically all the money going through it. So the group can figure out how they want to divvy it up. We have one IRWIP, it's Riches, and I'm trying to remember which one he is. I think he's McCollamy, American Consumptives. They are kind of interested in going on their own, but they said they want to listen. So we're going to try and put together our proposals into this subcommittee so we can see where we're at, just as concepts and values, because there's some like Madera, Jeannie says they don't have any that they're ready to put forward at this point. Several others are similar places where they're not ready to submit their updated plan, so they're not ready at this point to do this. Some don't have CEQA and other environmental permitting done or have a good methodology to get it done for this set. But on the other hand, we've got $6 million and one water, you know, project could be $4 or $5 million, if not $10 million. So we also don't want to try and say, hey, you know, we still have more projects funding wise than we have funding available. So that was one thing I was going to talk to you today about. Make sure we got ours forward. They know what it is, but we need to just write an email and say, hey, this is what we're talking about and the amount of money, and we're ready to go. And then if we get this together, there is, in the current budget for the process that's going on, they have technical assistance. And they believe that technical assistance would include helping us to write our grant proposal for this thing. So it'd be one of these deals is, yeah, we have something in there. We can probably get it in there and get the chance of getting it approved. It's pretty high. The other part was we wanted to try and divvy it up into types. And the discussion went around a little bit. When we did the workshop, we identified aging or lack of infrastructure for water stuff as one of our biggest issues. There was other things like forest management. I think most of us, as the IRWIPs at the committee meeting on Tuesday, were saying, it's probably the aging infrastructure, lack of infrastructure that we really should go after. Because CDF and others are going to have a big chunk of money. Oh, can you hear me now? We're still here.
Can you hear?
We can hear you.
I can't hear anything. I mean, I can hear you, but I can't hear anything.
Okay, because everyone should still be on the line. We have not had a service interruption of any sort. So can you, everyone on the phone, still hear us talking in the room here?
No, we can't.
Okay, so maybe it was a temporary blip there in the service that we were not able to hear. So John, if you can.
Yeah, I mean, I'm right next to the speaker, so I should be able to be picked
maybe
up.
Maybe back up just a couple seconds to give them that, because they were flagging that for you.
So,
thank you so much.
Yeah, so the discussion is probably going to be more centered on aging infrastructure or just lack of infrastructure for our DACs, / we can also do tribal. Sure. So we're thinking we're going to put that in, but if we really wanted to push on something else like forest management, we could do that. And they're just saying the forest management, we've got other funding from CDF and others that's going to be available soon. So they're saying we should go after DWR for the infrastructure stuff. And I think that's mainly where we're at anyhow with the ones we're ready to go with. So yeah, we're ready to do it. This all accumulates in a workshop that DWR will do when we get our proposals in. So the proposals have a timeline, and then the workshop is going to be somewhere between, I think, January and June or January and July.
So let's just drill in just for a minute on a couple of details, and then we need to move on with our agenda. But I want to make sure that we capture what John is saying in essence, and that is that there is a imminent proposal process for funding for projects. $6 million is at play. We don't know how that's going to be spent. Our philosophy and concerns have been centered around two points, and correct me if I'm wrong, John. The first is we want to leverage this funding to get more later. I mean, we just need to be able to make sure this string of funding and the resources continues. We don't want to have a big thrust of movement and then have it drop off the face of the earth. Secondly, we're concerned that because we only have a small portion of the region, that we want some distribution of funds for our concerns and interests, but we recognize that that could be a smaller portion of the pie because of the area concerned. We also have some pilots that we have or going, and as John mentioned, we have some really nice projects that could be demos, and we have our plan that's now going to be complete. So we're really well staged for this implementation. Many other groups are not. So I don't think that we want to throw out the first round because of that. We want to capture some funding, even if it's some plans and studies. For example, UC Merced has the ability to do focused, and also Lawrence Livermore has the ability to do focused water studies. And what that can do is give us the ability to make some decisions or provide some funding directly to the DEC to help make water management decisions. We don't know how that's going to come out, but I think that's a worthwhile thrust of the philosophy, and that's what we have carried forward. We also have requested formally technical assistance. We've shouted loud and clear. And I spoke to the tribal representative, and we've had several conversations. One of the things that I asked directly was if they could help us to help the tribal entities write grants. And they were a little iffy on that, but they had some potential for new funding coming down, that if they were able to secure that, they might be able to assist the tribes a little more directly. So I think that's the other piece of that. And right now, I just want to stop there, though, and then check in on folks in the room and then on the phone if you have any questions about that Mountain County's funding area update.
Doesn't sound like. The other thing I should mention is some of the subgroups for the Disadvantaged Community Committee have said that the boundary areas, they consider them a little bit fuzzy. So the people doing the technical assistance, you know, they'd have to make sure they tie it so that they can go back and make sure it's in the contract they're doing, that they don't mind going a little bit further. And our tribal reps are also saying, yeah, they're getting some funding to do some of this, but they're also a group that are coordinating between the tribes of California. So they're also looking to say, yeah, they don't have to just get into the Mountain County funding area. And they were very interested to see what was going on in the other funding areas. And I think, Bobby, you're going to talk a little bit about the Tulare Basin. The San Joaquin River, Jeannie was saying, so she's been working on that, and she says they're the only ones that have not yet even gotten a contract to start looking at this stuff. So we were kind of behind. So this subcommittee that's been working for 8 months here now, you know, we were one of the last ones to get our funding in place for this technical assistance slash information gathering, and the San Joaquin River people are even further behind. So we're, you know, but we also have to deal with folks down in Southern California that can pay hundreds of thousands of dollars for their consultants. So we're not great with everybody, but we're not the worst. So.
Okay, so I want to keep us moving. If there are no other comments or questions on that particular agenda item, the second part of that is simply to provide an update on the Tulare Basin, or Tulare Kern is what they're calling it, the Tulare Kern DAC. And what that has done is there is a steering committee or a coordinating committee to provide some guidance under that. There is a needs assessment that the Community Water Center is going to be conducting. They have submitted a scope of work for approximately, I guess, somewhere in the neighborhood of $600,000 for the total scope of work for that thing. We have provided some feedback and some nodes of engagement for our communities, particularly Springville, particularly a couple of in the White River area, Posey area. And then also we have some areas in the northern portion of Fresno County and northeastern portion of Fresno County that have some great needs. And we have done some work during the DAC workshops that we had. We were able to contact some of those folks from eastern Fresno County. So now part of what we've been doing is actually the group needs a tribal representative. And so I have asked them to formally invite Tulare County as an entity that has the ability to intergovernmentally engage with a tribe, to send a formal request out. So the Tule River Tribe has been identified as a potential leader. So your tribal council will see one of those formal letters. You know, if you guys say we can't do it, we can't do it, but otherwise we're really struggling to have tribal representation at the table. And again, the idea is to get, this is a disadvantaged community deal. There's a couple of projects you and I saw were perfect for that type of proposal. So the Tule River Tribe has water treatment supply needs, water supply needs, water pipeline. They also have some needs in the watersheds, marijuana, garden eradication, meadow restoration, all the standard things that we do, but their price tag for some of the infrastructure stuff is pretty high because they're such big projects. So that's one of the things that I think is really important. That is a pretty big wake-up call, I think, for the whole basin, is that we have a tremendous need in the foothills and mountains here that right now is not being addressed. So that's one thing that we have carried forward. There will be a formal letter. I have requested that formal letter simply to make sure that the tribal entities know that this is a serious investment of their time, but also there may be some rewards coming back in terms of the ability to provide feedback as to where the funding should go and the value of some of these projects. The next step of that is, again, there's going to be some implementation dollars coming down very soon. The program and the needs assessment is jump-started in Tulare Basin, and that's because, in fact, Provost and Pritchard had done a needs assessment for $1 million back in the day that was in the original, I guess it was Prop 84, the original legislation. So we have a jump-start on some of those needs. Now our job is to get some of those needs to kind of move a little farther east into the mountains, capture a lot more of the tribal interests and those needs that we have, as well as the northeastern Fresno County portion. Okay, so having said that update, are there any questions regarding that piece? So as you can see, there's two implementation programs already that are going to have some funding. So if we can get our business together and put some proposals forward, my sense is that this could be pretty successful. So now I want to move on. I'm going to move into the interested party and the public comment period just for a brief moment. Moving beyond any of the other project updates that we can cover a little bit later, I recognize folks have limited amount of time to discuss the IRWIM update and the adoption of the IRWIM today. So I want to get into that agenda item right away, but I also want to take a few minutes to acknowledge there might be public comments to address now. Are there any public comments? Folks on the phone? So now we're 3 minutes early. How's that work?
I've got a question.
Oh, yes!
Oh. Okay, if we have projects that are shovel ready, okay, you know, IHS does a lot of our engineering and stuff for us, right? So if we can get maybe the technical end done on our part, okay, would that help move anything along? I don't want to bump anything that you guys have been working on, but if you're looking for a shovel ready project on something, okay, that's something that we could work on our end and have, you know, the technical part of it done to where if we need to move on something, it's available, right?
Yeah, and that's exactly what we're looking for, is something that is ready to go. Now, I know you've done some work already on your work, on your stuff.
Yes.
And so part of the follow-up that we had from our field trip is that I need to get some of that, whatever you're comfortable providing. That's the stuff that we can not only provide kind of to the region to provide information about this is what's going on,
right,
but it also provides the fodder for grant applications that we need. So that's the other thing that, you know, I put a couple of projects that you guys have on the project list. You know, we discussed those. But the next step is to identify, well, what do you guys have, and then assign a budget to it. That upfront work you can do might be considered an in-kind contribution.
Yes.
Might also help that project rank a bit higher. My understanding is a lot of times the benefits and some of the things for those rough designs or some of that upfront work you do can actually be part of your grant application. In fact, they all actually will sometimes ask for an appendix that includes those design or feasibility studies.
Right.
So yes, please, any of those that you have, and you know, Ken and I have been talking about that as a potential next step.
Right.
So yes.
So let me add two different things. One is, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure I'm right on this, is we've never had a problem with anybody jumping to the head of the line of something that we want to put out there when they're ready.
Yeah.
Because that's been our biggest issue, is having enough things ready.
Yep.
Right.
And if somebody gets something ready, we will go out and see what we can do as a group to say, hey, where's the funding? So if you've got something that's shovel ready, that's a good thing. And nobody's going to get too upset that you're saying, okay, that's the one we're pushing because we can get it going.
Right, okay. And that that way we could establish a list and get some of that work done prior, right, to where if there is a project that needs to be,
absolutely,
you know, I would recommend it. And a little history on myself is I used to be the public works director 25 years ago for the tribe, so I know and understand.
Have an idea what all these things are when they're talking.
I was the one that started treating river water 30 years ago, right? Okay, never ever thinking that that river would ever dry up at our source, you know, the intake for our treatment plant. So it's, you know.
So that's one of the things we discussed, and I want you to know that I carried that back to the group after we met. I brought that as an update to the group, and we talked about the potential for some water shortages, in fact.
Right.
And we also know that in the drought, East Porterville, their wells went dry. So we have a really great example, I mean, great is a bad word, but a great example of this is something that happens and is reoccurring, right?
Right.
So I think that for the, if I could speak in terms of how to provide, it's like to participate in the bigger picture, be a seat at the table, make sure folks are attending, because I'm saying it, but they might just think I'm crazy.
Right.
That, you know, if you guys say it from your own mouths, that is a really compelling story. So if you could be a seat at the table at some point, that'd be great.
So I wanted to finish the second comment. I don't want to comment on the crazy part, because we all kind of have that idea with Bobby. But the other part that's kind of important, because one of the things that is hard for a lot of groups to be ready is on the permitting side, because as soon as you get state funding, you also have to do state permitting, the CEQA and stuff.
Right.
On this round of funding, we had DWR at our meeting on Tuesday, and they said there are two things with CEQA and other permitting. It's like you can get awarded without it being in place, and then you have 6 months to get most of this in place before they sign the contract. But for tribal issues and disadvantaged communities, it is reimbursable. It could be part of your grant. So the problem is this. Yeah, environmental permit. But you don't have your contract done until you're ready to get, you know, they have their CEQA stuff. So there's a little bit of upfront things. But, you know, a lot of times having dealt with the permits, and Bobby could probably say the same thing, the better you have a description of what you want to do, the easier it is to write everything up. Usually it's this problem where you don't have the engineering and anything else, and it's like, well, yeah, I got to write it up, and you're trying to do both at the same time. So having the stuff shovel ready on the engineering, the technical side is very important to get the next steps done. So.
Yeah, and I think these are things we talked about with the meeting with the tribal council. So thank you for providing that. Are you comfortable with your public comment and the shovel ready? Can we move on from that?
Yeah.
I think you had a really important point there, but I don't want to ignore it.
Okay, not that we have any, okay, but we have several that are in the process.
And
I'm not trying to push it any farther forward than it really is, but these are concerns that we're dealing with. Okay, and it seems like we always kind of get left out of the big picture with the state on the water resources and stuff. And we've tried to find funding ourselves to access the water that, you know, we need, but we have to prioritize, right? And I don't think people realize on the tribal council how important water is right now. It's the next goal, right? And
sure, better.
Sure.
We need to take advantage of every little committee and group that we can get in, because somebody's going to be taking it, right? And
right.
So my point about trying to make sure there's a formal request for you to participate at the table in these, DAC efforts. Not only do I think that you guys need to be at the table for your own interest, I really think the bigger picture needs to hear from you directly. I mean, I've tried to do the best I can, but it really needs to come from you guys. That's a tough sell. More meetings, right? You know, I mean, but that's how you can provide that input to that state in that forum.
Well, and also we lived it, okay?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
like exactly. I said, I retired from state service, okay? So I had been off my reservation for 25 years, right? I moved back and the same water issue exists 30 years later, right? And that broke my heart, right? So I'm on tribal council and I'm there for the people, and I'm gonna make sure that our council picks their game up, because without them, we're not going to be involved in any of this stuff, right? And our water runs right past the reservation without access to it. So we have to pick our game up. And I got interested when he came up, and Kenneth is kind of the water guy. Okay, I'm in second on when he can attend. So I try to meet the same people he meets in case, you know, he's not unable to attend. So I'm not up to speed on some of the stuff that he is, but I'm here to take this back and give it to him. And I don't know why he couldn't attend. But
he was at a water summit.
Okay. Well, I've been out of the loop for a little bit, right?
I've been bugging him about stuff too, so that's what I said. So thank you again. Are we comfortable moving on to our Irwin program update and that adoption phase? Are we comfortable going forward? Any other last comments on that? Questions? Okay, so our next agenda item is the IRWIM update, comments, discussion, responses, and IRWIM adoption potential here. And I would like to turn it over to Mary to discuss a little bit of maybe a little background briefly. And then, like, we did get a few comments, but there's not a lot of substantive comments and how that was addressed. And then we'll open up for discussion.
Okay, can everybody hear me okay? I'm shouting.
Folks on the phone, are you able to hear a rather modest toned Mary here?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right, very good. So, as you know, we have had the red line version of all of the 9 chapters that we updated on the IRWIM website. Hopefully you've all had a chance to go through that. Several of those chapters you've seen more than once already, but that was the compilation of everything on the website. We did also end up updating chapter 17, which used to be 16, but it's the references section because of mostly the UC Merced study and whatnot brought forward a lot of new literature and whatnot that we wanted to capture. And then we also had a few other little housekeeping things, you know, revising the inside title page and cleaning up the acknowledgments. We have a new logo to add for the Two River Indian Tribe. And some little housekeeping things like that at the front end of the document. So that's been out for public review. Bobby published a notice about that. It's been out for 30 days. And so far we've received 3 comments, all of them by email. I prepared a little spreadsheet that Bobby sent out with the agenda today, so hopefully everybody has that. And as Bobby suggested, the comments weren't really substantive, and I would say they were interesting comments, but not necessarily on point to anything critical of the plan or changes that they thought needed to be made. So technically, I don't think there's anything formally we need to do to respond to these comments except to just acknowledge that they were received. And the 3 commenters were Joanne Lee. She is with California Indian Environmental Director Sherry Norris had a few questions about where we were in the process of the plan. Question about King Sandy Rancheria acknowledging that they had an MOU and they were wondering if they could get a copy of that document, etc. So again, some kind of sidebar questions and comments about the process, which we could probably respond to offline or provide more detail in our response, but really no comment about the plan itself.
What was the date that she sent her comment?
That was dated September 28th.
There have been a number of, they've been chasing me down to get more information, and it's been, I want to give a little background on this comment, and I submitted it as a comment because there are actual questions in there, and I felt like it was safer to go ahead and submit that as a comment and have that be what folks can see as a response to this process. And I think the comments are for two reasons. First, there's been great turnover in our existing tribal entities. So there's been a lot of staff turnover, and even in our DAC representatives, there's been turnover. So we had, for example, in Big Sandy Rancheria, we had Sue Carter, who was at the Fresno Economic Development Corporation, and she moved in lateral to that, which is great for us, great learning curve for her. But what that meant was that there was a lot of institutional knowledge that may or may not have been transferred to her. And so what that means is there are a lot of times that we spent briefing folks and staff and you know, entities that were associated there and their stakeholders, and that may or may not have cascaded forward. So as part of the DAC and tribal outreach effort for the workshop, these are some of the questions that trickled out. Some of them were not even familiar with our planning area, the plan, or any of that work we've done before. And so we get these really fresh questions. I still think this is really valuable. I think it's valuable because it tells us we need to continue to do that same work. Even if we did it 10 years ago, it still needs to be repeated, refreshed, and there need to be continual dialogue opportunities between and among the stakeholders. So, you know, for what it's worth, even though it's really simple, maybe didn't help the plan or advance the plan, it did help our process.
So I also wanted to mention on this, I agree with the idea of leaving everything you said, but it was also before our workshop, and she was there at the workshop, and then part of the things that she had admitted to me, she says, you know, we don't always get the great participation in the workshop. So she says, kind of going further, she's further on down for the other RRMs, and to finish off, she's just calling the different tribes we got in our areas and going meeting one-on-one. But we had Big Sandy there. So I think her questions were answered that day, but I was after this.
Yes, yeah. And that's really important because, you know, a lot of that stuff did come out, and I have carried forward in the group. We have provided, John, I know you've done it, repeatedly provided the updates as to we have a plan that's coming out, we have the AC chapter, so that may or may not have been communicated among the project team as well.
Yeah.
So I got different questions from different people that were the same. But I figured that I wanted to make sure that there was that in that comment section.
Okay, so the next comment that we got, pardon me, so I'm probably going to butcher her last name, Melinda Van Sweat, dated October 3rd. She is from the, or is familiar with the Dinky Creek area. Had some comments about the Camp Elowen project at Dinky Creek. Again, the comment is kind of in large part a suggestion or a proposal for a possible project that could be undertaken pursuant to the IRWIN, potentially qualifying for implementation grant funds. So the recommended response is that we just acknowledge it and that the water management group here consider maybe adding her project to our Appendix G project list.
And I can't remember actually if I did or not.
Oh.
So that might be an action item just because I think I added something like 25 projects to the project list.
Wow. Is that all?
Is that all? Yeah.
I think I looked through the whole thing. I caught a lot of the ones from the Pooley.
Yeah.
But I don't remember seeing this one,
okay.
So I think you do have an action item.
I did send a pretty in the last couple of days, sent a fresh project list that should have included UC Merced's too. So what I would like to do as an action item is to confirm that that is actually on the project list. Again, this is the Camp LON. It's basically water supply, treatment, and recreation improvements. And I actually been in Camp LON. I walked across the bridge you have to get to. It's a really neat little voice document.
Cool. Yeah, I did get an email from you, Bobby, or it says on the agenda, see updated projects list, which I don't have that yet.
Okay,
so it could have been on a prior email attachment, but it didn't make its way to me through the forwarding process.
Oh, gotcha. So. You actually acknowledged the last one.
Well, yes, there was a list from UC Merced, but you said you added how many more to the list?
Yeah, and I sent it to you. I had already sent that to you. Several days.
As an Appendix G?
Yes.
Revision? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so you should have it. Let me know, though. Make sure. But it's basically all of the stuff that we had talked about before, which is the projects from SRCD that have been talked about, the Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory Project Suite for Water Supply. And then I could not get that UC Merced table to go into that without ruining the format. So that's where I was saying we could either insert
so
it.
This is a different version than what was on the website.
Nope, same thing.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about something subsequent to the list that was published on the website.
Yes, it's the same format though. Same exact format. So basically the action item is to confirm that the Camp LON project is on the list, I think is the comment resolution there.
Okay. And then, Tier 1, 2, or 3?
Yeah, I think that has to be a tier 2 at this point, unless someone could think of a way. I mean, they have a project proponent, the Friends of Camp LON. So, I mean, that's an argument to get it on the tier 1 list. But we could take a check in with folks now, or we could do that punt that till the end, maybe after our discussion.
I would say, summarizing it, advocates the benefits of meadow restoration, and the IRWIC currently identifies meadow restoration as a beneficial component of water supply quality resource stewardship strategies. So again, the comment does not really address any particular narrative in the update, but we can simply acknowledge it and acknowledge that the plan already addresses meadow restoration as a beneficial strategy. Just leave it at that. Any disagreement on that or discussion?
So I think that the important also aspect I think that's in her comment is the importance of those private meadowlands. And there is a cluster of Southern California Edison lands. Ironically enough, we're in a Southern California Edison building right now. And those lands on which I worked, actually, there are a number of meadows. And the private lands that are adjacent to them are actually small communities. And those have meadows on them as well. I've done some work in that same area on a project called the Grand Bluffs Project. Most everybody who's been on Highway 168 has driven by the owner's nursery, which is Intermountain Nursery. Those two folks are awesome. But I think it's 200 acres on Grand Bluffs. And that is an area that is a really good example of private lands conservation, and they've done some mastication and restoration. Just want to throw that out there as something we have been working on. We recognize the importance of private lands, and I think she's underscoring that we need to do some work to make sure those are included in our projects, and that private, it's underscoring the importance of private lands also is embedded.
So the other thing that I see that's kind of interesting in there that's important, and maybe we're covered, and it's just been such a long time I haven't looked at it, is NRCS, and how for private funds, private lands, they can get in and help, and so there's another source of funding and technical assistance that I think we've got to make sure. I think we've got it in there. It's just been a while since we talked to them. And
so would you like me to expand on the response a little bit in that regard, focusing on the private? Or?
I do think we need to acknowledge part of the point, which is that the importance of private lands in meadow restoration, and that there is a public benefit to that because those are waters that then go through, either come from federal lands, go through federal lands, or either provide clean drinking water or other entities to downstream users. So there's a compelling argument, in other words, to be made there.
And we've got to remember, we also have some private inholdings within the forest properties that are usually meadows too. So it's a similar sort of thing. So yeah. But definitely we want to make sure we pay attention to those things. So.
Okay. Well, that's it on the written comments that we received.
And I did send the email I sent was October 23rd at 12:39 PM and it was in another email thread.
Okay.
And I sent two versions, but the one of them was didn't have the last update. So it's there. We'll figure it out, be no problem. Folks on the phone, do you have comments or questions about those comments that we've received and the way that we're interpreting them or responding to them?
This is Nina. I read through the responses and I thought those were quite reasonable responses to those comments.
Thank you, Nina. And all we're saying is maybe just acknowledging the private land.
And I think it's great, but I have to sign off now, okay? Thank you for sharing everything so far, buddy.
Okay, thanks, Sophie. And Sophie, one thing that before you go is the notion of the governing body adoption. So I was hoping that you would be able to forward the adoption sample and turn that into an SRT adoption sample and then move forward with that as well.
I can't do it right now because I'm in a GFA meeting.
Sure, and I'm just saying as a follow-up that we'll...
Yeah, can you put that in writing for me and then give me the sample and I'll do it?
So look in your email. You should have it from today's agenda.
Okay, great.
Thanks, Sophie.
To give her a notice.
Okay.
That's
okay. This is Carol. That same topic, our next board meeting is November 8th, and I'll make sure we do our part on that at that time.
Thanks, Carol. So that's Tulare Basin Wildlife Partners. As I mentioned to Sophie, there is a sample, you probably already saw it in the last transmission that I sent out, that
can be
easily adapted. Thank you. Any other comments, questions? Well, I'd like to ask if folks have any comments or questions on the IRWIMP or any last and final things to address before we move to a consensus adoption. John?
Yeah, I've got just a couple of real small editing.
Let's do it.
One is, you said for the Tule Reservation Tribe that you're going to change their logo. I wasn't going to say anything until I heard that. It says, well, our logo now is Department of Fish and Wildlife, and because it was 10 years ago, it's Department of Fish and Game on there. So if I can remember, I'll look for our logo and send it to you.
Okay.
It needs to be pretty high res. Do you remember what the... resolution needs to be like 300, right? For print? DPI? I think it's 300 DPI.
I'm good with that.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think I've got in my files, I think I've got two, a low res and then a high res.
And I got yours.
Yeah.
And it's going to go in the plan. So.
And the other one, I had not read this thing all the way, all the changes. I read through some, but one of the things I caught right away was table 15.4. The numbers on there. That's the table for the climate change where it's also in other places.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All the chapters are off by one.
Oh.
So, because we moved chapters around. So,
thanks, John.
Yeah. That was actually something
awesome
I was using. I was looking at it, says, oh, I'm going to go look at everything else. I said, wait a second, the numbers are wrong. So,
thanks, John.
Yeah, that's it. So, that's simple.
Oh, that's an easy one.
Yeah.
Thank you, John. That's really great. And I know that John has provided a little bit of wordsmithing and a few other things along the way in and out of the meetings. And so thank you, John, for your continued interest and participation. And then also for covering a lot of the DAC work in the north. I owe you many beers.
I'll have a few of them.
I'll take your leftover.
Yeah. Maybe not all at once, but at least a few of them at once.
Thank you, John. Thanks again. I really appreciate it. Folks on the phone, would you like to weigh in on anything else before we proceed?
I have one comment and then one question really quickly. This is Carol. This has been a huge job. And I'm just so impressed once again at
how this group has performed and gotten this done.
Thank you, and I want to thank Mary and Owen and Provost and Richard for literally pulling their own weight and more through this process. And just as a reminder, we put a proposal together, and when we looked at the numbers of what the proposal would have cost us, it was over $40,000. So in terms of the team that we put together, UC Merced and some others, my company and Provost and Richard, I think it's really great, and thank you. So thank you, Carol, for your participation. And I also want to remind folks that Carol's group, the Tulare Basin Wildlife Partners, hired Conservation Strategy Group, or I don't know if it's hired, I think it's more like twist arm and torture slightly. And then Conservation Strategy Group got us $520,000 for our first Irwin. So thank you, Carol. I want to express appreciation for that and your continued involvement. And that's just, you know, it can't be said enough what our partnerships do for this group.
Just a little
side. My question, you can wait until after it's adopted. Yeah. So you want to go ahead and do that?
Thank you, Carol. I'll make a note, Carol.
Yes, Carol, you're probably cognizant of this, but we used to have Chris Turnell as part of the Conservation Strategy Group,
yeah,
as was their staff person working with us this year. He is now a deputy director of Department of Water Resources.
Yeah, I saw that.
Over the Irwin stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. So he knows Southern Sierra, which is just cool.
And he owes me a beer.
Yeah. Whatever. He's a good guy.
He is a good guy. Okay, thank you. That's great. Any other comments, questions before we move on? So I'd like to ask if everyone can live with the IRWM, the Integrated Regional Water Management Plan that Provost Richard at UC Merced has prepared for us. I'd like to ask that folks express any concerns with adopting the plan at this point in time.
Bobby, this is Nina. I think with climate change and other things that have been added to the plan, it's a much stronger plan.
I agree.
Thank you. I agree. And I want to just highlight that we will talk, and Nina, I think you may want to listen in particular to this. In a little bit, I'm going to ask Ryan to provide an overview of some of the extended tasks to help us to make this go to implementation going forward. And, you know, we have an email from Dr. Bales that helps us do that, but Ryan's been doing a lot of the heavy work. So Nina, please stay tuned to that piece that we're going to do immediately after this discussion.
I think that work is really essential for the overall watersheds and what we're trying to do.
Okay, so I have not heard any objections. In fact, I have several people who have expressed in writing vehement and violent, as Julie says, violent approval or violent consensus, going along with their thumb vigorously shaking in the air. So I would like to consider our IRWM adopted by consensus by this group as of right now. The action item there for me is to pen out a letter to DWR. I'll send this to our project team, make sure it looks good. I'll also adapt the one that we did from last time and do things just as we did last time. So why invent the reel, right? So that we have now reached that point where we have adopted this. We have a couple of trickle items that we'll do as part of touching up the document, cleaning up a few things. Mary and I will reconcile the project lists that we sent out. We'll make sure Camp Elwin's on there. We have some action items that we'll do with the Tule Reservation in terms of their involvement in the bigger picture pieces. But we're in really, really great shape. I also today did send out the first real clear indication of a timeline for the broader implementation program. We also have the Water Smart grant that's coming out. We have Prop 68 that's now out, Department of Fish and Wildlife, WCB, and a number of others also have proposals that are out. The Rose Foundation has a proposal out. So there is a lot of funding out there. So I would like to congratulate everyone for participating, for sticking with this, for being patient, for doing your part. And going forward, we would like as many people as possible to adopt or accept the plan as individual organizations. If you have a governing body, we have a sample adoption process, and we have a sample letter that basically makes a statement affirming the group's acceptance and use of the plan. It's not an obligation in any way, but it's something that officially stipulates this is a plan that we are interested in, we participated in, and we plan to use it. Now, in terms of the Forest Service, they would have to do a different type of model. Their model is to accept. They write a letter that says we accept this, and again, the great thing is that can be utilized in some of the planning documents for the Forest Service. They can also then, once they accept that, apply as a project proponent and submit projects for funding under the proposition program that the state has. So we have a pretty clear process forward now. It's up to individual agencies to do that, but I will offer briefings or participation in a briefing session with management teams, say, or a governing body. I can sit down. Most recently, we did that with the Tule River Tribe. They were very welcoming, and we had a really productive session. We've done that with just about everybody who's been in our group, and so I want to extend that invitation. If you have the need for me to come or any of the project team to come, possible. You know, I know UC Merced is also available to try to help do that type of stuff if necessary, and they have some proposals coming out as well. So that's also conducive to the same sort of direction.
Bobby, this is Carol. One quick question. When do you, by what stage do you think you and Mary can have the final version posted so that I can circulate that to groups like mine and others? And have that available for
you. So let me just make sure, you're asking about the clean version, fully tightened?
Right.
Okay, so let's walk back maybe from kind of our submission. We're thinking that we have some time now to really do that and take a week or so to put that together. And then I think maybe Mary can.
November 1st?
November 1st?
Uh-huh.
Is that your deadline for your agenda?
Yeah.
That was good mind reading over the phone, Gary.
I can try.
Okay. Otherwise, I'll do.
So I think.
Just let us know when it's available.
4 working days. Yeah. So thanks, Carol, for raising that issue, and I understand where you're coming from. There is the composite draft that is available online right now, and that can be cleaned up easily by just accepting all track changes. If you wanted to print a version for them to review, you could go into the individual chapters and accept the changes and then email it that way.
Yeah, it may still have a few of the typographical errors that we talked
about. I will wait for the clean version and get it to them if you can make it pretty close to that date.
Perfect.
Thank you, Carol. We'll do the best we can. Provost Pritchard has done a lot of work already, and so I'm not going to ask for anything else.
So I have two comments on organization stuff. Is that one is I might want to take advantage of having you come in to talk to our timber people to see if we can get some of them to be involved. And because they cover this area pretty well. And then I don't think getting a signature will be all that hard to do, but it'd be good to have our timber folks also involved in this thing. And also because some of the reasons I talked to you in the past is that it'd be good to have somebody.
Now, when you say timber people, are those the inspectors, or are they folks who are doing review of THPs? Or?
They're a review of THPs, but they review private THPs.
Yep.
The big stuff.
Timber harvest plant. Sorry.
Yeah. So they're for the locals and stuff like
great.
That.
Great. Yeah, so, that's great. Yeah. If you, John, as a follow-up, if you would identify a good period of time for that to happen, you know, not now, but maybe just think about that and work with those guys, we can identify a time period where that would happen.
Yeah, my thinking is something relatively informal between you and me and either one or both of them. We have two of them in the office, so.
And think if it would be valuable to have you see or set at the table as well.
Oh, yeah. If we can get them there, or on the phone. So part of it is just checking with their supervisor to make sure that they can get release time for meetings.
Absolutely.
Stuff, which I think they can.
Okay. So we have moved on to the...
So I did have one other...
I just want to tell folks where we're working in the agenda. We're on the implementation program and next steps. And so the part of the next steps that John's talking about is bringing up this briefing, this notion of a briefing. So thank you, John. Please continue.
So one of the other steps, and I didn't realize that this was something that can be done until I was working on one of the Tuolumne Federal Energy Regulatory Commission projects, that with FERC, you actually can send them local plans. And I think this would be a real good thing to send them, because then any of the ones that Edison and PG&E are working on within our areas, they have to consider our plan. So FERC will go through and approve it, but it's not like something we have to really push on them. It's like, yeah, if it's a locally approved plan, they accept it, and they just have it in their records and stuff. So
thank you, John. Yeah. Good tip.
So I will, if once we get a clean version, I'll work with Bobby and Provost and Pritchard and say, let's see how we can get this thing uploaded.
Thank you, John.
And we may even be able to upload it for you through our stuff. So.
I like it. Okay, other comments and questions? I'm going to turn it over in just a minute to UC Merced. Just want to check. Comments, questions? So in this agenda item, I'm going to actually go back to front, bottom bullet to top. So I'm going to, Brian, are you still with us? Can you take this agenda item and lead it for just a moment?
Which agenda item?
So we're on the implementation program and next steps. And part of what I would like to do is have you talk a little bit about your work and Roger's summary of your work under the current grant application or grant program, and maybe talk a little bit about the kind of arc of your work and how this work going forward will fit into that, and then how you hope that that work will generate some benefit to the region on the ground.
Part of my funding that I'm currently getting has been to do the management plan that we've just wrapped up. But there's still some time on my, I'm still under contract, so to speak, or getting money. So we're gonna be extending the project that we've been working on and kind of adapting it. So the idea is that we're gonna be doing some going forward, we're going to do a small project. One of the first things we're going to look at is to try to understand how vegetation in the Sierras has changed over the last 100 years, actually more specifically how ET has changed over the last 100 years, evapotranspiration. We're going to do a kind of a small study that looks at how was ET in stream flow 100 years ago before fire suppression came about. And the idea here is to try to get that kind of a baseline of what is the ideal, what is kind of the maximum amount of stream flow that we could possibly expect out of the Sierras if they weren't so overgrown and we didn't have so much the density of the vegetation as we do currently, or at least before the mortality event, which is now doing a little bit of that for us. So that's one project, is to kind of set that in mind. And the idea there is to, some of the funding that we have going forward is we're interested in trying to understand how to do, how management should go about doing things such as fuels treatment, where to do them, when to do them, how to do them, you know, what densities, these type of things. Those are the questions that we are interested in understanding, and those are the ones that have, we believe, the most relevance to many of the managers that are dealing with the overgrown forest.
Ryan, can I stop you there? Could you repeat?
One step into trying to get to that point.
Hey, Ryan, could you repeat the questions again?
What was?
Could you please repeat the study questions and you mentioned, yeah.
For which one? The first one or the just the overall?
The forest manager's field treatment questions.
Okay, so the idea there is, these are the kind of more the bigger picture questions. We're interested in trying to understand how to gain the most benefits from fuels treatment on the mountain. in terms of one, field treatments are done for two recall, primarily done for to reduce fire severity, but they also can, in some cases, be beneficial from a hydrologic perspective, which is where a lot of our interest comes from. But it's not, you don't always see that effect. It depends on many different things. So a lot of the questions that we are interested in understanding is how and what type of field treatments need to be put in that are would maximize those hydrologic benefits. Things such as the density of the field treatments. If you go in and just take out a few trees, you might not see a hydrologic benefit. If you go take out a lot of the trees, there's going to be we suspect a threshold there where you're going to see benefits. There's also the type of field treatments, whether you take out just understory, you take out some of the big trees. There's many different ways you can go about doing field treatments. There's the placement within the watershed. You can put them near the riparian zone. Well, you can't put them directly next. Oftentimes there's other rules about it, but we want to get an idea of, generally speaking, where in the watershed it would be advantageous to do these field treatments. So these are the types of questions that we are interested in going forward with many of the proposals that we hope to submit and some of the stuff that Roger Bales has already put in. Does that kind of help?
Yeah, that's great, Ryan. Thank you. And I just to underscore that, folks, that is the research knowledge moving to action, which is shoveling the dirt, you know, water in the meadow, fire in the forest, chainsaws in the forest, the action that will try to work towards our goals and objectives. It might be managers' objectives. It might be where can we synergize if we're doing a fuel break, but we want more water? How do we get our cake and have it too? So I think that's a really nice way. And this is how I sold it to Department of Water Resources. Part of what I wanted to make sure was that Department of Water Resources was A, aware of how we were trying to act on the plan after now we've adopted it. And we put in our proposal that we didn't want this plan to just provide research information. That's great, but it doesn't tell us what we need to do and where we need to do it. So that's exactly what Ryan was saying about where for maximum benefit for water resources, but also protecting those resources, can we do work? And I think, you know, if I again pick on the Thule tribe again, I have been involved since 2004 on the tribal area, and we did the GIS mapping for the first fuel breaks. So we're talking about water and fire protection at the same time. What a great mix, right?
Yes.
So, you know, and again, this is, Ryan, I think, you know, you and I have spoken about this. One of the things that we've talked about, and Safiq and I talked about this, was actually going to some of the potential beneficiaries, like the Thule tribe, Big Sandy, and some others, potentially focusing on or moving down scale in some of the studies to, you know, and maybe looking for funding for that. So there are some really focused things that we might do, say with Forest Service or with individual landowners, that can give us a lot of power in our assumptions, I think. And that work can only be done if we have what Ryan's doing now in the plan. So again, thanks, Ryan. And do folks have other questions regarding that? I think this is really an important piece. So let's just talk for a minute about how this laces together with our current project list. So our current project list has included in it, I think it's 5 individual sub-studies from UC Merced. It has up to 8 individual water studies that Otte Visser and Jean Moran would execute under Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory and CSU East Bay. So those are projects that will generate additional information about the watershed and the water in the watershed as to how that water moves. And that also tells us where our activities might have the best benefit, greatest impact, and also it might be avoiding negative impact, right? We might be able to identify refugia we want to stay out of. We might be able to identify sensitive areas that are important for water quality preservation or water yield. So these are some things that I think are really important in terms of how our plan has the rubber meeting the road. Now, the proposal process is, I think, where they diverge, right? I think UC Merced is chomping at the bit to get more funding for research from DWR and have that laced together with some very important focal points on the ground. Where are they doing the work? Where do we have specific information? Same thing with Octe and Jean. They want to really work with folks who need the information, where they work with communities, do specific studies within those communities, look at where the water's flowing, how it's flowing. Again, we have a really great example from Three Rivers, but we have a whole bunch of other communities that need that same stuff. And in terms of the fuel work, we could go to get fuel work or meadow restoration from an organization like John's. They have a bunch of funding out right now, and so does WCB. And then I said, as I mentioned, the research aspect, WCB has already funded UC Merced for research. They now went after a second round under that evapotranspiration loss program. So they have a proposal in with WCB right now to look at this in terms of evapotranspiration loss. Dead trees from drought or wildfire, or removal of the canopy from wildfire, or you can simulate those things by doing treatments in the forest. So with that kind of suite of how that nexus works with the two different kinds of project types that we have, and then the funding, which is a really broader net than just DWR, although UC Merced appears to really be focused on the DWR funding. So with that suite of comments and sort of pulling that together, do folks have additional comments or directions for the project team?
So, one of the discussion items we had at the Disadvantaged Communities Community Subcommittee, one of the things that came out with the needs assessment is for technical assistance and regional help on that. So it's like, I think we know it from here. Your presentation you did to us
last meeting.
On the Rogers Camp area, and it's just, we need somebody who knows tanks. We need a tank specialist. Well, the same sort of thing pops up all over the place, not just for tank specialists, but for engineering. We had a discussion up in Sacramento on Tuesday about how can we get funded doing regional assistance centers on this type of stuff. And, you know, there was all sorts of ideas on what's needed for these, what can be involved. I'm thinking UC Merced on forest treatments and climate change issues and stuff like that, it'd be neat to have them as part of a regional assistance center.
That's where they're going.
Yeah.
That they really want to be able to provide it in Ryan, from my comments, not necessarily from you, but from Safiq and Dr. Bales, you know, it sounds like what John's talking about is exactly kind of how you guys feel that you might fit into that picture. And I see there is a Sustainable Groundwater Management Act piece, because they have to figure out their models. They have nothing for the mountain block.
Yeah.
They're shooting basically in the dark.
So Ryan, I want to make sure you're aware, not get too much hope up. We didn't identify, say, oh yeah, here's a piece of funding we're going after for this. We just saw the need. But the Sierra Water Work Group, Liz Mansfield, and their sub-consultants working on the disadvantaged community stuff for the Mountain County, she has been a legislative staffer in the past, the California legislature. She has gone after finding funding beyond just what's in the grant programs. So that's kind of our thinking. And it may be one of these things, it's like, I look at it and say, hey, well, UC Merced may be able to host the Regional Assistance Center for the San Joaquin Valley system, you know, both on the valley floor and the Sierras and stuff, and there may be other people, other schools besides the ones you guys are working on that say, oh yeah, I want to get involved, and I'll have representatives there, you know. So I think it's just on the initial stages, but we need to get you guys together with Liz and some of the folks talking about this. So I will put the bug in her ear. I'm going to see her for sure, I think, in another couple of weeks, and give her your contact information, and then just see if I can get you guys talking together so you don't have to go between me.
Well, that sounds fine to me. All those things sound great to me. You know, I am totally for if we can figure out ways to, you know, get us all to work together, and we can get some synergy with the projects and, I don't know where I'm going, but I'm totally on board. I like these ideas.
Yeah.
Okay.
At affordable prices.
That's all very good. I think it, what you, Seymour, said and myself spoke about early on is kind of gelling. They see this as a way to help provide information that will help management actions, even at smaller scales, which, you know, is a bit tougher, and yeah, it's a lot more costly to do. So they've been really good about putting proposals in. They have $500,000 of additional research and projects that we'd like to chase, and that's on top of the Lawrence Livermore, Jean Moran, CSU at East Bay work that is also, and complementary. So those two studies, by the way, are talking. So the stable isotope stuff is talking with UC Merced. UC Merced, Dr. Bales introduced me to Ate. So there's talking among those two as well. And so that picture that can emerge from that, I think, is really compelling. And if we were able to do that, that means we may have the best picture of our water in the state in the mountains. So we have now moved into, and thanks to UC Merced, and thanks to Ryan, you know, we've really moved into the 21st century with this. It's really exciting. So, you know, for me, I'm kind of geeky like that, so I really like it. Do we have any other comments or questions for our agenda today? We're rocking here.
Can I just make
sure.
A quick comment? Okay, so everybody's aware of the pier fire that happened along the Tule a year ago. Well, we had our first big rain event, I don't know, maybe 3 weeks ago, and I have heard so many complaints from people in Springville about how the river water is still brown, how their beloved fishing hole filled completely with ash and runoff. And a lot of people are angry that nothing was done to do anything about that. And I recall, I didn't say anything, but I recall one of the forest botanists explained to me when I asked last year, is there going to be any mitigation of erosion happening as a result of this fire? And he explained to me that they had a review committee and they realized there would be no economic impact felt by any of these communities by the erosion. So no, they weren't going to be doing anything. And I think about, you know, Lake Success filling up with sediment and things like that. So I'm just going to put that out there. This is not, you know, we're not the only community that's had this happen. Every community that suffered these large fires is going to have huge impacts on their water. And I'm just saying that, like, where do we go? What do we do?
There's a lot of talk like that going on up in the Mariposa area as well.
So I don't want to step on Nina's shoes on any of this stuff. They're going to look at cost benefit and what's out there. And then they put it into the Forest Service budget issues. And
right,
all their budget goes into firefighting.
Right, we can't.
So there is some every now and then they can get for this stuff. But I was just, as we were just mentioning for Mariposa, I just saw pictures this morning on my water call, working with some of the people up on the Sac Valley area of, I'm sure some people saw the press releases about USGS talking about where debris flows mm-hmm. were supposed to happen this year. And they showed me the picture all around Shasta, where there's like, you know, they have, you know, from green to where it's no problem, to yellow is kind of a problem, red where it's going to be a pretty big problem, to like brown where it's like, yeah, this is going to be a big issue. And so it is, the reflow and the chance for that are terrible. I drove up the canyon 2 weekends ago. I'm going to drive up again this weekend. And yeah, you could tell where there was a lot of stuff moving. But also, I'd heard our swimming holes on the Washan Fork. So the north fork of the middle fork of the Tule River, they were filled in this summer from last year. And, you know, it's like, yeah, that's all bedrock area through there. You see nice deep pools and stuff. And it's all sandy, you know. And so any of those areas that, you know, needed other stuff. So the recreation value kind of took a dip, fishing values, because we also had issues with that kind of stuff. But yeah, small communities are going to be hit all over the place. And you guys had some of the pure fire come on over to the reservation side.
About 10,000 acres. Oh, okay, but it didn't affect too much of our upper timber. But down on Black Mountain. Okay, it did. And we had a black foam on Stony Creek that was probably 5 or 6 feet deep, right? And just made a mess. And, you know, I think we'd have to access some money to do a little bit of the, you know, to keep the roads in place at least. But I'm a mountain man. I've been up there and, you know, we're going, it ain't over. We're going to lose a lot of dirt before it's sized
down. That was my thought. I thought last winter we were going to have a mess. But driving up this year, looking up, it says, oh yeah, no, we're still really posed to have more messes
and
this year.
The first person to talk to me, I said, oh, just wait, a big storm will wash it out. But he said, no, Nancy, there's miles and miles and miles of sediment above me that's going to wash it in. And I thought, you're right, this is a long-term effect.
So I think that's why the UCMer said it had that predictability, the ability to predict some impacts like that and to look at where those sensitivities might be, vulnerabilities might be, and to be able to try to work there. That's the preventative side. What I think your question is really the after side, right? So the way the Forest Service usually works, and Nina could probably wax more philosophical on this, but they have a burn area response team. Mm-hmm. They usually call them bear reports that they put out. And the actions after that and potential funding really are tied to that report. So we saw in the Rough Fire, one of the things that, and we talked about it in the meetings here, during that period after that, and they did that analysis, they found that there were some really bad spots. They also found that there were some that weren't so much. Hmm. And so that was one of the nuances that came, but they were able to look at potential culverts and, you know, some other pinch points, things like that, that might cause problems. And that, again, is the ability to try to mitigate that immediately. To try to get in there and say, this culvert's going to fill, this is going to create a gully, go in and really do strategic movements. The problem is what they used to do is sterile wheatgrass.
Right.
Or
right,
oats.
Right.
And we have really good evidence that that's a bad, bad idea now. So the notion of native plants has caught on a little bit, but they also are a little less reactive in that sense, and they'll focus more on the pinch points. You know, kind of where is that stream going to pinch and create the highest flow? Let's do some work there.
Right. Well, Caltrans had to remove about 3 feet of sediments across that whole bridge.
Yep. Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. And in fact, how many times has that highway closed now? Simply because of that one event. Two or three at least.
Two or three, yeah. And I suspect a couple times again this year.
So this is a state highway.
And last year, they kept the opening going over to the current side.
That's right.
That's not usual.
No.
So it's like,
if you have a big snow year, it's not an option.
Yeah. So you can get wiped out, and most of the people that work that are still up at Camp Nelson and above work down the valley floor. So it's a problem.
So I'm just going to...
I have a suggestion. Oh,
is that Nina?
Your congressman tells them they need to fund thinning from below and prescribe fire on our forests to reduce the risk of catastrophic fire.
Thank you.
That's in our plan, by the way.
Yes.
I just want you to know that I mentioned this to what I hope is our congressman this go-around just the other day. I went to a meet and greet, and I said, hey, even though his district isn't all the way up in the mountains, I said, you've got to work on forest management stuff because it's all going. He was talking a little bit about temperance and other water storage, and he says, we're going to wipe out all of our local storage. It's real easy to do with a couple bit sediment flows.
But one of the issues is that these are fairly large areas that burn, and it's just there isn't any way that we could really do anything in these watersheds to stop the erosive power of a rainstorm. You know, we just can't do that over tens of thousands of acres. There just aren't really methodologies that are, you know, feasible to do at that kind of a scale that don't cause other problems sort of cascading down the line. And I'm very sympathetic to all of this. I live in Springfield as well. But I think that truly the answer is to get that thinning done. And while I'm also very sympathetic to the mill and the need for us to maintain the mill, we just need to be able to thin from below to get rid of all those excess straws in the ground, which will help us grow larger spaced out trees and get the forest back to what they used to look like, which was probably a more park-like open setting. And we are used to these cross-choked forests. And that's in our purview, and we think that's natural, but it is not natural.
Right.
We really, truly have more work than we can afford to do. But right now, we have a new forest supervisor and a new ecosystem manager, and we are going to be trying very hard to get grants from CAL FIRE and from others to genuinely do that thing from below in areas that have not burned since the 1800s. And those are areas that we think of as being of primary importance to do the manipulations on the land to stop those old growth trees from burning.
Thank you.
So Nina, I'm just wondering if maybe you could set up a briefing with the management team, and maybe we could twist Ryan's arm a little bit and get Safiq to come down too and do a little briefing with the management team.
So Nina, the other...
That sort of thing would be great.
Yeah.
It might have to be several months out, but I'll make a note and I'll talk to the ecosystem manager and see if we couldn't get that set up. And then we can do that coordination to figure out a time that's good for everyone.
That'd be great, and we'll also be looking to do
a
once a month in these day-long meetings, and that might be the time when it would be good for them to come and talk to the leadership team.
Would you, Nina, just send an email when you get a chance to let me know when that range of time might be, and I can get that on the calendar, and then we'll go from there?
Sure.
Ryan, did you have a comment? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
No, I was just saying that I would be happy to join the meeting. That sounds fine with me.
Thank you, Ryan. And
everything that was said is very true.
Thank you, Ryan.
So the other thing I wanted to add into this, Nina, for your guys' pushback and maybe for Charlie and others is, you know, working a lot with Ron Good and folks up on the Sierra National Forest side and with the North Fork Mono folks, they will point out, yeah, clearing out some of the forest, either through prescribed burns and other stuff, does a whole lot for their acorn production and a lot of their cultural species that they want to deal with. So, yeah, there is both of those things going on, not just... preserving some of our water infrastructure and other stuff that can go on with doing some healthy forest initiatives. It also helps out some of the cultural resources we have out there.
There are multiple watershed benefits to the thinning from below and prescribed fire. I mean, I think there are benefits from some of these fires that occur very late in the season, like we have the alder fire burning right now. And those fires late in the season, because it's so cold in the evenings at the higher elevation, actually do a lot more good. What we really have to prevent are these fires that burn in July and August.
Okay, so I want to...
We can't when it's human caused.
I want to move on, and I've projected the most recent project list onto the screen, and this is Mary, what I sent to you most recently. And you'll see where I've added in track changes the actual projects. These have come in mostly before, but there were like the Camp Elowen, a couple trickle that came in. You also had some SRCD projects that came up. You see the SRCD potential partner, the Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory at CSU East Bay in their isotopic tracer study. You can see the wildfire protection plans is relevant to our most recent discussion. Those have also generated projects. They're done now. They've generated projects. And we have the UC Merced aspects to their projects here. We have, actually, Nina did the Trout Creek Bridge replacement. And then we have some additional details we provided on a project that, a suite of three projects on Sierra National Forest. They were in discussions with National Fish and Wildlife Foundation to actually fund those. They were in contract negotiations last time I heard it. So I don't know if they were able to get it moved through, but they were at least giving it a shot, and they could get at least one, maybe two of those done. We also have a potential I know Jared might be still on the phone. Steve Hayes and I discussed a really interesting project right at the base, within the foothill area of the Rural Streets Program, which is the diversion structure for Big Little Dry Creek. Steve Hayes is really interested in that. And then there's some infrastructure or flood control methods that are in there. These are already approved in the County of Fresno's multi-hazard mitigation program. So I plucked these and their descriptions directly out of a document that was actually approved by the County Board of Supervisors. Two reasons for that. One, they're already vetted. They've got feasibility or other planning work done on them. Two, get on the Board of Supervisors radar. Okay, so these are things that Steve Hayes provided. Fuel bank construction along Highway 168. Prescribed fires, Eastern Fresno County. And we have a couple of the Tubi River Tribal water needs. Okay, tribal water construction and restoration here. Water supply treatment. Okay, these are the ones we talked about, looked at. So put them on there without any further sort of ado about it. We'll get those on there, and then you can see the action is funding source and final budgets. So those are the pieces we talked about, just exactly what we said. Okay, so we have a suite of tier two. These can easily be moved up. There's Camp Elwin right there. The process, just a reminder to move it up in the tier, is to do work on that or provide a pre-proposal, budgets, or other items. And that can be bumped up. You can see Nancy's Mountain Air is right there, needs a water tank that she presented last time. That was already on there. I refined it a little bit. I think I bumped it up because you presented and we have a solid description, some potential ranges of budgets. So what Nancy did, bumped her project up, right? So Camp Elwin, you know, these are all gonna come in at pretty high rankings because they, you know, we've done some work to get them prepped. The one thing that's not shown on here is the table of UC Merced projects. I just put that in as a suite, but there is a whole chunk of them enumerated in the table. We presented that at the last meeting. Okay, so those have funding sources, potential funding sources allocated. Those have distinct project budgets. Okay. And then the one final thing I want to maybe close with today is a piece of really interesting news. Let's see if I got it. We'll discuss two more things. One is the PSPs process for December, coordinating committee in November. And then we have, as of today, or maybe even tomorrow, we submitted a invoice to Tulare County for Irwin dues. And that is a big milestone. I looked back in our minutes, I believe it was May of 2015, they had promised us $7,000. And I went to the Tulare Basin DAC meeting, and she was out in the hallway, and I said, hey, you owe some money. She said, hey, you know, why don't you just give me an invoice and see if I can pay it?
Perfect.
So I did. Okay. That's what we've got. So I worked with Sophie and Melody.
Carol, I remember, wasn't it 2,000, not 1,000?
No, it's 7,000, Carol.
Oh, 7,000.
Yeah, that's the.
All right.
That is.
All right.
And if folks were in the room, you know, she had paid that to every other Irwin group in Tulare County,
yeah,
but us. And so when she attended our meeting, we said, well, this is equitable. And she said, yes, as a part of equity, we would need to be able to provide the same funding to you guys. So I followed up and I've been bugging her for a little while about it, that I was able to see her in person. And we don't have the money yet. We do have a process. If they can't pay it, we'll go back and have them sign the MOU.
Okay.
So I just presenting with the invoice, see if they'll pay it. And if they don't, then we'll go through another process of getting that. So trying to generate some additional monies for outreach, engagement, that kind of stuff, but also grant writing.
So on that note, that was one of the discussions at the subcommittee meeting. And the person who keeps pushing this is Liz Mansfield. So she used to be the head of the El Dorado Irrigation District, part of CABI. And she said in CABI, and we had the CABI rep there, said, yeah, we still have it. Every time they get a project funded that the IRWIP helped put together, there's a line item for overhead for the IRWIP. And so funding from the grant actually goes to help do outreach and other stuff, and it's an overhead administrative cost.
Yeah.
And she says, yeah, DWR hasn't ever really blinked at that type of stuff. So it's something, as we start getting projects together, we may have problems with some of them, But every place that we can, we should try and get them to put a line item to say, hey, you know, here's a little bit that goes in for the outreach, for the administrative costs, for facilitation notes, et cetera. So,
is there based on like an amount or is it a percentage?
It's a percentage. And, you know, it's low percentage, but
right.
When you get, if you get a big $10 million project, which, you know, is potential that we can have happen and stuff, yeah, you know, you get 1% of $10 million and that would fund our IRWIP for a couple of years.
5 years.
Yeah.
Basically, 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's pretty standard to ask for 10% at least, but I think universities ask for more.
Yeah, I mean, there's other overhead.
You need to establish what the standard overhead would be for this IRWIN.
Yeah, because there's other overhead that, you know, the funding group, so Sequoia Riverlands Trust, if it continues to be our fiscal agent, they have some too that they'd be putting in here. And it's just one more step on there. So.
And we did this at the end of 2014. We did this analysis, so we have annual budgets for our group. So it's doable. So I think, you know, I think we're at the end of our agenda. We have the PSPs, and going forward, we have a November coordinating committee meeting. And during that meeting, we want to review any PSPs and scopes of work or funding applications. So we will want to have proposals from folks at that time, basic write-ups for their projects, and we will be allocating these funding sources. We have DWR, we have WaterSmart. I know, Carol, you and I need to talk about the Water Smart, but one thing to think about is that they have two phases for that. First phase is to fund a watershed group for annual budgeting, just like what we were talking about. Second is to fund implementation. That implementation is any of our projects that we have. Those, all of those, I believe, will qualify. So we'll really have to think about how that will fit in.
Just a quick note.
Yeah, Carol.
I think that the IRWIN group. Well, I've read it pretty closely, and it needs to be a watershed plan. But if the Southern Sierra Irwin would be able to sort of cast itself as a watershed plan organization and do a project within that and provide 50% cost share, those are the parameters that you'll need for that. But we can talk about it more on the 16th.
We have two watershed action plans we completed already. We did that under our National Forest Foundation grants. There is a National Forest Foundation grant application out that I did not put in that PSP announcement. And they have an implementation grant program that's coming out very soon. So I know I'm going to be banging on Nina's door and a number of others, but I think it's going to be important for UC Merced to be a part of that, build in any of that that we can as part of their information they've already gathered, or if there's a research component to any of the projects going forward. So I think by December, we'll need to probably approve at least one, maybe more, implementation projects. And I think that's where I want to close our meeting today and adjourn our meeting with the thought of, you know, that's what we're doing this plan for, is we want to gather the information, get that stage set, and then get money to be able to do work in the mountains. So I think, you know, that is really where we are now, and that's a really great place to be. We will also, as UC Merced, complete some of their deliverables under the grant. We will also ask them to come back and present maybe in December. So Ryan, please put that on that first Thursday in December on your calendar to present. Maybe we can talk about that later. But certainly if you have proposals, projects, ideas that you want to come forward, we can publish a 2018 project list at the end of the year too. So we have our 2017. If we have new ones that trickle in, we have an annual report due at the end of the year. So by the end of January, we'll have another full project list updated, published, and that will go live at the website with an annual report. So we're not done here. We've got a lot more room to move, and we have some pretty good charging orders. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Provost and Pritchard. Thank you, everyone who participated in this. Thank you, Ryan and UC Merced. Great job, everyone. And I'd like to consider us adjourned if there's no other comments, questions, closings, jokes at my expense. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, Bobby.
Thank you, Bobby.
Thanks, Bobby.